If only you understood how much we hated him, this Zacchaeus. For me and my friends, it wasn't that he was a tax collector. Oh, no, I mean, we understand it. The job had to be done by someone. As a matter of fact, I'm a tax collector myself. But I'm a merciful tax collector. Why, just the other day, I gave a man an additional 24 hours to sell all his possessions so he could pay his dues. But this Zacchaeus, this chief tax collector, he not only had his own district to get his dues from, but he made his money off my skin. I make my meager sliver of a living, taking a small cut from the taxes that I collect. But that Zacchaeus, for doing no more than keeping a few books, he would take a massive slice of what I had earned. And if I was but 2 degrees of the sundial late in paying my face, he would double his commission. And his house. You see, we tax collectors, we all have to live in the same district. I mean, after all, we have to have some friends. But the Zacchaeus house and his household, it was continually expanding. One more mosaic for the courtyard. One more servant to look after and care for his expanding fig vineyard and orchard. Another party for his friends to celebrate his most recent purchase. And all while I soil my shoes and bang my head on the hovels I had to enter and listen to the whining and complaining when I collected the taxes that are due. Oh, the people hated Zacchaeus. But I think we tax collectors who subcontracted to him hated him even more. And so it's no wonder. You can understand why, when the news came through that this traveling rabbi, this teacher, this Jesus, this miracle worker was passing through town, you can understand why the crowd and truth be told, we tax collectors made sure that Zacchaeus was pushed to the back. You see, he was short and couldn't. But he fooled us again. He ran ahead of the crowd and climbed up into a sycamore tree so that he, in fact, would have the best view of all of the people. He once again would have the advantage. Oh, how I remember the darkened and scowling faces all around me when we realized what he'd done. But what happened next, you'll not believe. This rabbi, this teacher walking down the street, pressed in from the crowds on every side. He stopped at the very foot of the tree that Zacchaeus was in, and he looked up into it, and his gaze met the eyes of this extortionist, and he said, unbelievably, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. For I must go and stay at your house today." For a moment, the crowd just stood there in stunned silence. How he knew his name, I'll never know. But then again, he was supposed to be this miracle worker. But that wasn't what surprised us. That wasn't what captured us. That wasn't what stunned us. That wasn't what made us stand in silence. It's what he said. "I must stay in your house today? Must? Must? Must?" What do you mean, must? He could have carried on to the next town. He could have stayed in the home of the most reputable people that we knew. He just healed a blind man. Surely that man's relatives would have welcomed this rabbi, this teacher, this healer into their home. What in the world does he mean, must? But something powerful must have compelled him to want to stay with this Zacchaeus, this hated man. Stay at his house. No wonder when the people finally recovered somewhat, they began to grumble and murmur and complain, because you need to understand something, that if this teacher went into the house of a tax collector, let alone a chief tax collector, then many people would deem him spiritually and religiously unclean, unable to go into the temple. And certainly to eat with this man was to say that there's no difficulty, there is no problem between us. As a matter of fact, more than this, that this rabbi desired a relationship, even a friendship, with somebody like that. It was unbelievable. It was incredible. And for most of the people standing around, it was offensive that a religious leader would want a friendship with a man like me. A man like this Zacchaeus. How could this be? Well, Zacchaeus scrambled down the tree. But he came down the tree a different man than the man that had climbed the tree. Before he even spoke a word, you could see it in his face. There was something different about him. That is why the crowd parted, to let him walk through to see this rabbi. It was not something that you could pretend. Somehow the kindness of this teacher had changed something. Had changed Zacchaeus' heart, had somehow brought him to something different. You might even say had brought him to repentance. Now understand what he did next. This Zacchaeus, he didn't do it because he wanted to look good in front of the crowd. I mean, what do we tax collectors care about the thoughts and the attitudes of the crowd? We'd live with disdain all of our life. No, it was something different. Zacchaeus' heart had been changed. And we know that it was a changed heart because his actions were different. All of a sudden, he began to be burdened for the poor. And he said he would, and in fact he did, give away half of his wealth to the hungry, and to the naked, and to the impoverished. And not only that, but he paid back everybody that he had cheated. And not just those that he had taxed and cheated directly, but he even gave me back the money that he cheated out of me. And the rest of the tax collectors who subcontracted to him. I remember at first we were so happy. I mean, that was the many shekels that came back our way. But then we realized he was expecting us to change too. And no longer he'd question us. And no longer when could I, you know, pad it a little bit, right? When I had to go through a little extra difficulty to collect my dues, he'd make me give it back. Zacchaeus. His heart had been changed. And when a man's heart is truly changed, his life is changed. And when a man's life is changed, his business is changed. And when our businesses was changed, our city was changed. And all of Jericho has been transformed. But I get ahead of myself. In response to this changed Zacchaeus, this rabbi, this Jesus, said something amazing. He said that today salvation has come to this man, for he is once again the son of Abraham. Abraham, our father in the faith. Somehow Jesus had taken this Zacchaeus, this outcast, this hated man, this traitor, this one who is not allowed to speak, this man, and he's once again somehow enfolded him in the community of the people who trust in God. And then Jesus said something that troubles me, that plagues me to this day. He said something that is the reason I tell you this story. This rabbi said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." The Son of Man. This beloved title from the prophet Daniel, whom we expected, that we knew that God himself would send a savior, would send a rescuer, would send a deliverer. This Son of Man is going to act like a shepherd, seeking the lost, going out and gathering in the sheep that have wandered away back into the flock of God. That's how he's going to live. And as I tell you the story, as I tell you why the Son of Man came, it dawns on me why Jesus must go to the house of Zacchaeus. He must go because the purpose of his coming, the goal of this teacher, was to go and to find people who have wandered far off, to find those who are lost, to find those who are cast out, to find those who have lived their life taking advantage of others, to find those who mask their self-hatred with arrogance and pride, to find those who slink away into the corners, to find those who would not look into the eye of another person, to find those very people and to bring them back to this God of ours, who is our good Father. That's the strangest thing. That a Savior searches even for me, sinner of all sinners. And if he comes and he searches for me, then surely he searches for you. And if there is a sliver of hope for someone like me, then surely there is an abundance of hope for people like you.
So if you are here today and you feel like that shepherd is tugging at your heart, then we want to invite you to visit the back there. Alan's back there and he would love to pray with you. Perhaps he's been tugging a while. Will you just pray with me? Father, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, that you seek to save the lost. This is who you are. We confess to you, Lord, we've been lost in a lot of different ways. But your eye is on several people here in this congregation today. You want them found. You want them to know your great love. And so, Father, we pray. We pray today this today would be a brand new start. In Jesus' name, amen.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering, oh, surrendering, oh. Find me. Oh, don't you for you, desperate for you. I surrender.
Would you rise with us?
Trench my soul as mercy and grace unfold. I hunger and thirst. I hunger and thirst. With arms stretched wide, I know you. I want to know.